But I have some things to say about baptism, what it is. Baptism is described in the scriptures as the answer of a good conscience toward God. A person cannot have a good conscience toward God until they're washed in the blood. As long as that hasn't happened, our conscience is defiled. Baptism is a sort of acceptance of the church, of a person having made a profession of faith, salvation. It isn't really a sanction, but it's done by a church official because it is an indication that the church understands or accepts that the person receiving baptism has repented. Salvation takes place at the moment that the Lord accepts a person's penitence. That's the way it was with the man on the cross. Yes. When he prayed through, he got saved. Nevertheless, we're commanded to be baptized. And if you have a profession of salvation and you haven't been baptized, well, there is a blessing that the Lord has for you. I like to make people feel guilty, but that is something he wants people to have happen. And it is a demonstration to the world. But by the world, what I really mean, I think, is to the person who got saved more than anyone else. The symbolism of baptism is that the old life is buried forever, put away. But I was thinking about these things in Sister Anita's case in particular, because she is expecting a ministration of grace to occur during this service for her to have more victory than she's had after the service. She's more victory than she had before. She's expecting something to happen. And as I was thinking about that, the Lord started talking to me about some of the ways that the word baptism is used in the New Testament. Now, Jesus came to John to be baptized, and John said, "No, I need you to baptize me." The people that he was baptizing had been convicted by the messages that he was preaching, his teaching against sin, and they felt they needed to be delivered from it, and so they came to be baptized, expecting to be different after that occurred. Jesus hadn't done his sin, but he still expected to be different after he received baptism, and he was. We can mark the beginning of Jesus' active ministry from that moment in the Jordan River when John took him under the water and the dove came down and landed on his head. His character was not changed. His holiness was not changed. But the season changed for him. He had been a youth up to that time, but with the beginning, with the baptism, he entered into an active ministry. So there was a change. And then he said this, and it's recorded in all three of the Gospels, but in Luke 12 and 50, "But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished?" The word baptism is translated from baptizo, and the root of that is bapto, which is a verb. Verbs are action words. You know what verbs are. Run, jump, fly. Those are verbs. This one means whelm. And the meaning of whelm is to engulf or submerge or bury. So the root of baptism, being bapto, means to submerge or to bury. It's the root of our word overwhelm. When someone is overwhelmed, the wave of their trouble or whatever it is goes over their head. When a dead person is buried, we don't just sprinkle some dirt on him. We bury the old life. When a person is baptized in the Jordan River, they don't expect that John led Jesus out into the water and just dipped his hand in and sprinkled some on him. He took him clear under the water. And it is because there is to be a resurrection, a different person, a different life, after that has occurred. Well, when Jesus said, I have a baptism to be baptized with, he was talking about his death. And what he meant was, just like Sister Anita is going to walk up here to this water, which is probably warm on top, I know because I felt of it, but it's cold most likely underneath because the warm water rises. And I'm sure she's not looking for it, forward to it in one way, because there's nothing graceful about going in front of a bunch of people and getting doused. It's an act of humility at the best, but she's doing this because she wants to receive some benefit from it. Jesus said, how am I straightened? And that's another one of those words. It means in anguish. It means to be made sick. I have a baptism. The Lord didn't speak very much about his feelings, about anything. Mostly the gospel talks about the actions that he took. But there are a few places. Jesus came knowing what lay ahead of him, and when he spoke this, he knew that it wasn't that far away. And he said, I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I made sick? How am I in anguish? Well, it had to be. How would you ever enjoy anything very much knowing that before very long you're going to be tortured like he was and carrying the sins of the world? And what he's saying was, I want to get it over with. I'll be glad when it's done. This is a necessary thing. It's the only way to bring salvation. And it's painful to think about, but I'm going to do it. Because I want what's on the other side of it. Yes. And here again, when Jesus went down into the water under John's hand, he came up different than he was. He went into a new season of his life. Yes. When Jesus hung on the cross, he compared that to the same sort of thing, being overwhelmed, being submerged, not under water, but under the agony of physical death. And they call that a baptizing, which means he went the whole way under it. And when he came past that on the other side, he was something that was impossible for him to be before. He was God before he was crucified, and he was God after he was crucified. But because he came in a physical body and he resurrected that body, he is God incarnate. And because he is God incarnate, he is able to make it possible for you and me, being carnite beings, having flesh and blood, to be with him at the throne of God. So he was changed after he underwent this baptism that he experienced on the cross. It was called a baptism because it's overwhelming, because he had to go clear underneath the water. Sprinkling wouldn't do there. He had to die the whole way. And then there's a third place where that term is used. John said it, Baptist, in Matthew 3. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. We believe in the second filling, the Holy Spirit. We believe in being forgiven of our sins. That puts us in a place that the Holy Spirit can come into our lives. It's impossible for the Holy Spirit to come into an unclean vessel. So salvation is necessary first. And then it's necessary after that to receive the same thing that the folks received in the upper room. And the scripture called that a baptism. And here again, it involves giving oneself wholly, completely to this experience, to this moment, to receive the Holy Ghost, put that in other words, means that you come to the Lord and say, I thank you for having saved my soul. I'm forgiven of my sins. I realize the need for something more of you. I give myself to you entirely. Please have mercy upon me and baptize me. Overwhelm me. Let the waves of your Spirit wash over me. Fill me with the Holy Ghost. And here again, those people who were baptized with the Holy Ghost in the upper room, after that experience occurred, they were different than they were before. We expect baptism then to make a difference. Now that's a miracle. When does it occur? And how does it occur? I think about the Lord Jesus. Oh, the first one that he did. Folks came to him and said, all we got is water. We ran out of wine. And the Lord said, fill the water pots and take them to the master of the feast. And so they did. And somewhere between the time they put the water in there and the time it got to the master, it changed. The Lord didn't say any more about it. It just happened. How did it happen? When would a miracle take place? Nobody can ever say, can they? And it can be the same way with the moment of baptism. When the Lord puts his finger on it and the sanction and blessing on it, something happens. There's power in it. There's a blessing in it. It's important. Maybe it's because of the obedience. Maybe it's because of something the Lord recognized by his Spirit in every individual soul. Nevertheless, we are commanded only things in the gospel that are good for us. Because we're commanded to be baptized, baptism is good for us. It's necessary. That means the Lord intended to bestow a blessing in the baptizing. Yes. Have you ever seen it happen? It felt pretty good, didn't it? Go under, apprehensive, the water's cold, preacher might drop me, don't know what's going to happen, and come up laughing and smiling. And the first thing you do is turn around and hug the preacher. Then start singing to the congregation. What made it happen? The Lord did something. They weren't that way before. 2 minutes ago, they were terrified, sticking their toe barely in the water. But when the Lord comes down and blesses it, that's when everything changes. Yeah. So let's do that, shall we? And I mentioned earlier, baptism is a Bible commandment. If you are here this afternoon and you have a profession of salvation and you haven't been baptized, the Lord wants you to be baptized. He doesn't want to punish you for it. He doesn't like to make it a demand, do this or die. But he's got a blessing for you, and he'd like for you to want it enough to come. I mean, after all, how much does it really hurt to get wet a little bit? Most of us do it several times a week. And you can afford to do this too. So if you're here this morning or afternoon and you haven't been baptized, since you've received the Lord Jesus Christ, this is the opportunity.